There's something to relate towards the overall message of this morning, but I do think, Tim, he had some songs that were very, very applicable to this morning's lesson. So hopefully we can remember those songs and think about what we sang and focus on those and try to expand on what we sung. I do want to ask everybody to kind of bear with me, too, because I'm trying to balance between a Bible class and two sermons today, so all kind of back-to-back as well. So trying not to mix them all up, but we should be able to get through this just fine. But to this year's theme, and Tim had a sermon just a few weeks ago kind of bringing out this theme for us as a congregation. We used to do this quite often. Every year we would have a theme and we would try to center around that theme to try to build upon one theme. And this year's theme was based on Jude 3, that being contend earnestly for the faith. And as we are starting to try to start again, it seems like really since the pandemic, everything has to kind of restart. Let's try this again. And we had a lot of things kind of attack this congregation, you know, especially with just the pandemic in of itself and not being able to meet with each other. I think that was something that really could have been something that could have torn this congregation apart. It could have been something that each and every one of us could have fallen away because we weren't meeting together regularly. We weren't meeting together as much. We may have lost contact with the people who we love here in this congregation, but it didn't tear us down. And today is actually kind of maybe a medium to smaller crowd, and we have all kinds of snow out on the roads. And so I find that an amazingly good sign that we still have this big of a crowd even on a day that most people probably don't want to be out. And so it's good. And what we want to do as a congregation is to start to build upon that. We want to be able to look forward and seeing what we can do, not just to sustain the congregation here, but to grow. And to do that, to grow in numbers and to grow in spirituality, we have to first start within. We have to start within ourselves. And one thing that I find is that we go through so many things in our life where we can be drugged down. We can be completely pulled down. And we have all of these things, all this outside distraction that can pull us away from God. There's all of these bad things that happen to us, but there's something that still keeps us driving. And for this sermon today, I hope that this is something that it can show others why we're so excited to be here, why we're so determined that even if there is a foot of snow outside, we're still going to make it to this building on a Sunday morning to worship with other Christians. We're going to come here to remember Jesus and his sacrifice for us. It's going to show others why we still love Jesus, why we still serve him. And that's ultimately what I want to come to. And in order to get past these hard times, these trials and tribulations that we may face in our life, especially as Christians, we have to find what gives us peace. We have to find a specific place that we can go to find peace, to be able to let all of those cares of the world out of our lives and find peace. And I want to thank Chad. I kind of threw a couple of scriptures at him this morning for a scripture reading, but I'm going to go ahead and go back over those one more time so they can be fresh on our minds. This is something I want us to remember throughout this lesson this morning. 1 John 3:16, a scripture that we're all very familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's how amazing Jesus is. That's how much God loves you, is that he gave his Son. Jesus came here. He took on flesh, and he suffered so that you could have eternal life. Whoever hears can have eternal life. I love how it mentions this, that whoever believes in him, not just specific people that hear and that believe in him, but those who hear and believe him, whoever it is. It's not open to just a small group of people, and that's something that we need to spread with others. That it doesn't matter how far gone they are, it doesn't matter what kind of hard times they're going through in their own life. God sent his Son that whoever believes in him, whoever decides to believe in him and decides to follow after him, they have the chance to be saved. And it's because of what God did, what Jesus did. It's because Jesus came here and took on flesh, Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've been through and what you've done. Jesus loved the whole world, everyone in the world, so much to give his son. And it correlates so much with Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, where it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Who in this room has sinned in their life? Just by a show of hands. Seeing a lot of hands, as I would hope to see. What are the wages for those sins? Here in Romans chapter 6, it's death. We deserve death. We deserve to be eliminated and put aside for the sins we've committed. But we back up to John chapter 3. And we know that God loved us so much that he doesn't care that we sinned. He wants us to be saved. Even though the wages of our sin is death, he sent his son to die because he loved you. Not just a specific person, not a specific group of persons, but he loved the whole world. And not only a specific amount of people can get in, but whoever believes. Whoever. That door is open to every single person on this earth. The gift of God is eternal life. So though we deserve death, though we deserve condemnation for the sins we've committed, God offers us eternal life. In order to share this with others, for them to understand how powerful this is, we have to find peace. And where do we find peace? I think looking at John chapter 3 is a perfect place to find peace. That God loved you. It doesn't matter who you are. That if you're one of those who's willing to hear and willing to believe in Jesus and his message and his goal for you, you can have eternal life. You don't have to perish. What better place to find peace than that? Than God's love. Than going to God, going to Jesus, seeing what he's done for you. What better place? Now, a lot of us have probably gone through bad things in our life. You know, just recently, and we can think of how this ice and snowstorm hit us so quickly. On Friday, you know, I guess Thursday night, I was trying to plan ahead, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna have to try to think about how to, you know, if I got to go into work or not. We got up to a level 3 in Marysville, so I was contacting my boss and talking with him and seeing, hey, what's going on here? You know, like, because we're still working outside. So am I still expected to show up to work in a level 3 snowstorm, or what are we going to do? And he was just kind of up in the air. He didn't know. He has to wait for the higher-ups to tell him. And, you know, so I'm waiting for a response. I even text the higher-up boss to kind of see what's going on there. You know, what's going on? You know, or are we going in? Should I plan to make sure to wake up a little early? I leave the house right around 5:15 anyways in the morning, so I want to make sure I'm out the door if I've got to drive through all that snow. I didn't get a response, so I woke up and I got ready. I was getting ready for work, and I'm about to head out the door, and then I find out. You know, of course, I could have slept in. Now I'm having a hard time going back to sleep. It was such a bad thing. It was horrible. And man, you would have thought it was the worst thing in the world that could have ever happened to me. But there's a lot of worse things that can happen to us. There's a lot of bad things that can happen to us. We can even look to the Bible for examples of bad things that's happened to other people. Of course, just in our own lives, we can think of losing loved ones. Maybe we're going through hard times with maybe money. Maybe we're having a hard time finding where the next paycheck is going to come from. Whatever the case may be, there's all kinds of things that can be bad in our lives. We can look to the scriptures to see. The first being David. I think you can look through David's life and see all kinds of things that were going wrong in his life. You know, first, starting off in the beginning of David's life, he was just a small shepherd boy, and God chose him for some reason to become the king of Israel, that he was going to be the king over his people. And so he went to take on this journey as God has called him to do, and of course the current king didn't like that. He didn't like that this man's about to try to take his spot. He's going to take his throne. So Saul several times tried to kill David. Several times Saul came after David, and David had to pray to God and find peace in God. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But even later on in life, David has relationships with Bathsheba, and he ends up having a baby with her. Now, Bathsheba was a married woman. And this was wrong for David to do this. And I want to go ahead and take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. I should have all the scriptures up on the wall behind me. 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting in verse 15. Says, then Nathan went to his house, and the Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. And the elders of his house stood beside him to raise him from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. On the seventh day the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. They said, behold, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we say to him, the child is dead? He may do himself some harm. So David went through such a dark place, such a horrible time, because this child died, and he knew that it was because of the sins that he had committed. He knew this was something that was his fault. He knew it was something that he did that caused this innocent child to go through this illness and to suffer. And he was going through such a hard time, but the whole time it says that David went to God, that he sought God on behalf of the child. He found peace in God. We could even look after this instance and after the child dies and David finds out, what he ends up doing is he goes to God. And even backing up again, thinking of how Saul was constantly after him, we can see in Psalm 17, verses 1 and 2, prayer of David, hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From your presence, let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. You see, David was a man that when he was going through something hard, when he was going through some kind of trials or tribulation and even death coming after him, where did he find peace? Where was he able to sit to still find happiness and joy in this life? He was able to go to God. He was able to go to God in prayer and talk to him and know that he is there for him. When all seems lost, when he lost his child, when his child was going through a dark sickness, a deathly illness, he went to God. When Saul was chasing after him, we can see several times where David constantly relied on God. He went back to the Father. That is where he found peace. He found peace nowhere else. You could even look to the Ecclesiastes writer and find where he tried to find peace. All kinds of places throughout Ecclesiastes where he's talking about where he tried to find peace and joy and happiness and all of these worldly ventures, but he didn't find any except for finding God. Look over at Joseph, the story of Joseph. For those who can remember, Joseph was cast into a pit to die by his brothers, but actually sold into slavery. He was sold into slavery to the Egyptians. So here he was the youngest child, and his brothers hated him for being the favorite, and he's sold into Egyptian slavery by his own brothers. I don't know how much worse it gets than that. Probably a little bit worse than just getting notified the day of that you didn't have to wake up. But he's cast into this slavery, and taken somewhere as a young boy that he has no idea where he's going. He has no idea what's going to happen to him. But he goes in, and with all that happened to him as he's there in slavery, he starts to do well, and God is with him then, and we can tell that God is with him and that he has also been going to God for peace and for comfort. And moving on, he keeps on moving up, and then he runs into it with a higher-up's wife. And she tries coming after him, and she even lies about him, you know, about him sleeping with her, and when the reality was that he ran away. So he keeps on doing the right thing, but it seems like everything he does just keeps on falling deeper and deeper. And it didn't matter how deep Joseph got. Genesis 39, verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. And later on, we even see where Joseph, he goes on and he's even interpreting dreams to the point where Pharaoh likes him so much, where he sets him in control, basically second in command. So Joseph kept on seeing these times where his brothers betrayed him. He is scared and doesn't know what's going to happen to him as he's sold into Egyptian slavery. And then he even gets thrown into a dungeon for sleeping with his master's wife, which he didn't even do. All of these horrible things happen to him. Bad things happen to such a good man. But he finds peace with God. He is with God and God is with him. That is where he finds peace. And all of the bad that happened. And I think the greatest example that we can look at is Job. I don't know of a much greater example than Job in the Bible. Job lost everything. He lost his children, his livestock. He lost his home. Really, he lost his friends in some way. He lost his friends' support. And then he even lost his wife's support. All of these things. And he even has sores on his body. The list goes on. It couldn't have gotten much worse for Job. All of these horrible things. But in Job chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die.' But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God? Shall we not receive evil?' In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." Job knew that he could find peace in God. He knew that the answer wasn't to curse him. Even though his wife, the one who was supposed to be there to help and support him to get through all of this, even though she abandons him, even though she is really turning against him and saying, just to curse God and die, get this over with. With all the bad things that happened to Job, where did he find peace? Where was he able to find joy? It was with God. He didn't curse God because he knew that wasn't where he could find peace. He knew he couldn't find peace in anything other than God himself. He knew that he shouldn't just worship him and expect good things only. But he knew that evil things would happen to good people. He knew that God was still with him. He knew that he could find peace in God. So when we look at these men as examples in the Bible, we have to put ourselves in that same situation, or when we are put in a similar situation. Where are we going to find peace? Where are we going to find confidence? Where are we going to find security? When all else fails, when all of these bad things around us are seem like they're just tumbling in on us, that there's no hope left, when it seems like the best thing to do is just to curse God and die, where are we going to find peace? Are we going to find peace in maybe money or a better job? Are we going to find peace in maybe our own good looks? You know, whatever it might be, there's all kinds of things, even looking to family and to friends. Job couldn't even rely on them. In the worst time of his life, Job couldn't go to his best friends, to his wife. So we can't always find peace in our friends and our family. So where are we going to go? Where are we going to find peace? Backing up to what we brought up in the beginning, John 3:16 and Romans 6:23, and looking at those scriptures and seeing that we find peace in knowing that we don't deserve life. We deserve death. But God loved us. He loved you. How much does God love us? Can we really find peace in God? How much does he really love us? Let's look at a few scriptures. Malachi 3:16. And then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. Do you think we can find peace in God knowing that he's got a book about you? He sits there and he says, "You've been faithful to me. You have feared me. I'm going to write a book about you." That's how you know God has a lot of free time, or really doesn't go based on time at all, because he has so much, I guess really no time at all, that he's able to sit there and write a book about you individually. How amazing is that? When we look back at Malachi and what he's doing here in his ministry, we look back into the beginning of Malachi, and the Israelites have just come out of Babylon. They just got out of Babylon. They were under captivity, and, and they were able to come back. King Cyrus allows them to live in Jerusalem again, but it doesn't feel like their city. It seems that even though they were allowed back into the city, it doesn't feel right. They still feel like they're the outsiders. It doesn't feel like this is where they belong. It doesn't feel like their city anymore. So they're complaining. Why did God take us out of this exile? Why did he take us out of this punishment under Babylon just to come here to somewhere else where we don't want to be either? You know, does God even really love us? That's the question that they're asking. They're having a hard time finding where God truly loves them. But in the beginning of Malachi, chapter 1, God tells them that he does love them. He says, I have loved you in Malachi 1, verse 2. I have loved you. This whole time, God loved him. And what Malachi is trying to explain to Israel is that, listen, God loved you. He didn't want you to be persecuted anymore, so he brought you somewhere where you can make home again. He brought you back to your home city so that you can make that home again, so that you don't have to be under as slaves to Babylon anymore. But even though that he explained this to them, they kept on denying. They kept on denying that God loved them. For the ones who did fear the Lord, God paid attention and heard them. He paid attention to those who feared him. How much does he love you? He loves you so much. He's obsessed with you. He's going to write a book about you. Isn't that amazing? Now you can say, maybe this isn't a book necessarily a real book that's really written about each and every one of us. And I would hear that argument. But I think there's other scripture that shows that there might be a real book about you and I when we get to heaven. That God wrote a book about us specifically. We can look over at Psalm 139, verse 16. The psalmist here writes, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. The psalmist here writes of a book where God sat down and wrote a book about him, that before he was even formed. Of course, also, this could be metaphorical, that there's a metaphorical book, but in some sense, God has a record of you. Specifically, he cares that much about you. We also see this in Psalm 56 and verse 8. It says, you have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? What book is he talking about here? Is this a real book? I find it interesting that there's so many places in Scripture where it talks about this book that is written for you specifically. Not only that, but here in Psalm 56, God loves you so much. And you almost get this sense of obsession with you as specifically, that he puts your tears in a bottle. Again, I think this is metaphorical, but this is just showing how much God truly cares about you. That he wants you to be saved. So where can we find peace? Maybe about the man who has a book about us. The man who sat there and wrote a book about our life. Is that not someone who we can find peace in? Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, a little backstory to what's going on here. The disciples, the apostles, they come back to Jesus and they're telling him about all these great things because they've been sent out to cast out demons and do all these miracles and wonders. And they come back and they're like, Jesus, you sent us out to do these things and it was amazing. Demons were being cast out of people. It was so cool. You should have seen what we could do. And Jesus tells them, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So don't focus on these things that are amazing sights to see, that the spirits are subject to you, that there's all of these evil things that can't affect you, and in fact, you can affect them in such a way that no one can explain. You have some supernatural ability, but Jesus is like, no, don't worry about that. But what you should worry about is that your names are written in a book in heaven, that God has your name written down, that he's waiting for you to make it to heaven because you heard him. backing up to John 3:16, because you believed. Because you are one of those who did not hear. But when you did, you believed in him. And you believed that he is the one that you can find peace in. You found out that he is the one that you need to go to. And you found out that he loves you so much, not only did he send his son, but he's got a book written about you. That he's got your name written down in heaven. That he's waiting for you. We could go all over the scriptures to show all different kinds of places where we can see God's love for us. But what better way to see God and see his love than just looking back at John 3:16 and Romans 6:23. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To have eternal life, something that we can't even fathom. And Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What better place to find peace? What better place to go to when we're bogged down? So when we spread this word of John 3:16, that God loved you so much that he wanted you to be saved, even though you sinned and you deserved death, he gave his son so that you could be saved, so that you could have eternal life. You deserve death, but he wants you to have life. When we start to spread that message to others, one of the things that I have found that keeps people away from obeying the gospel, and one of the ones that's hardest to overcome, because when they bring this up, it seems that they're just looking for an answer to not follow God. But one of the things that we find is something bad happened in my life. I lost a loved one. Whatever other bad things may have happened, you know, we can expand on so many different things. But there's bad things that happened to me, and I've been a good person. Why would God allow that if I'm such a good person? Why would God allow bad things to happen to good people? And that's one of the strongest, really compelling for the other side, compelling arguments for people not to obey the gospel. And so they may look at you and see that you've had bad things happen in your life. They may see that your life really isn't anything too great, but you always act like it is. You always act excited and happy and joyful. And you always act as if you have peace, and they want to know where that comes from. You can tell them. It's from what I read in John 3:16. A verse that really everyone probably knows. I can find peace in the fact that God loved me because I believed in him. He loved me and gave me a chance for eternal life, though I didn't deserve it. That's how I can find peace. And spreading that to others and how they also can find peace. Because, again, bringing up the Ecclesiastes writer, there's nowhere in this earth that we can find peace. There's no earthly possession or nothing that we can do in this life to bring us ultimate peace, to bring us ultimate happiness and joy. We can go out and we can try all different kinds of things, but it always comes back to one single thing that gives us true peace, gives us true joy. And that's through God and through seeing what he's done for you and how much he loves you. So I want to ask you a question and leave it with you this morning. I guess kind of a multiple set of questions maybe. But really the main question is why are you here? And by that I mean, why do you decide, why have you decided that you want to follow God? Is it that you can find peace in him? Is it that you have found peace in the fact that he sent his son to die for you, though you didn't deserve it? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, and maybe you're looking for that peace. You're looking for something to completely fulfill your life. There's no better way. than coming to God. And I've always questioned and I've always cringed at the offering of an invitation, because I always wondered, does it really even matter if we offer the invitation? What good does that do? But I think ultimately what it does is it puts you on the spot. It puts us as individuals on the spot. And I think there's a fine line between admitting within yourself that there's something that you need help with, that there's something that you need to further your life on. But when you admit it out loud and you bring it to others, it becomes real. It becomes something that you can't run away from. It becomes something that you have to deal with. And you have to get rid of it. And not only that, but it's such a relief when you can find brothers and sisters who care so much about you that they want you to be saved, and they're willing to do anything they can to help. So at this time, we offer an invitation for anyone who has maybe questions, concerns, anything that is bothering them in their life. If you are trying to find peace and you don't know where to find it, maybe you're having struggles to find peace, we encourage you to come forward now. Let us know this morning before it's eternally too late as we stand and as we sing.